Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, hopefully they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom, who's to be with us tonight. We were going to talk about what's really going on financially in the world today. And, of course, isn't it interesting that the price of oil is coming down? Now, of course, remember, we had interviewed Lindsay Williams, and Lindsay had told me early in June that the price of oil was going to be coming down. And he said that he'd been told it would come down to $50 a barrel. Seems improbable, but it certainly could get down to $100 the way things are going. And then those of you who have heard my interviews with Mr. Jim Tucker, who, of course, tracks the Bilderbergers, this super secret, a very private little group of people who run America and run Europe. They had a meeting in Virginia in June of this year, just about the time Lindsay told me what was going to happen. And lo and behold, why the Bilderbergers had ordered that the price of oil would begin to come down. Why would this be? Well, because if the price of oil gets up too high and stays there for too long, even though the oil companies make a lot of money and they're part and parcel of this whole complex of control, why would you begin to get competitors? And the last thing the oil monopoly wants, the oil cartel, made up of probably six or seven large companies, the last thing they want is competition. And so any time the price gets up and stays there for too long, and then all the competitors want to come in and start drilling for oil because there's plenty of oil out there, then they drop the price, they destroy the financial stability of their competitors and wipe them out, and then, of course, they let the cycle run for a little while, and then they raise the prices again until it gets so high that people want to come back in the market. People who have forgotten, of course, what happened time and time again before, and we've seen this happen many, many times before. Tragically, I think we're going to see it happen again, but at least for the time being, the drop in the price of oil will certainly help the economy, which is in very real trouble. Well, there was an article, it was in the normally bullish Wall Street Journal in March of this year, reported by the American Sentinel. They quoted the Wall Street Journal as saying, "In the credit panic that began in August of last year, we have now reached a point of maximum danger. What a global run on the dollar can become a rout." This gentleman named David Dierman, who writes for the Forbes magazine, who said that recently, "We are in a liquidity crisis, the magnitude of which we have not seen since before World War II. And a recent edition of Safe Money report said that for the first time since the Great Depression, the Fed has bailed out a major broker-dealer and opened the Fed's emergency lending facility to primary dealers." And what you're really seeing, ladies and gentlemen, are real problems. Of course, the housing market is imploding. The financial markets are imploding. Most of our banks, or many of our major banks, are simply insolvent. Certainly the automotive industry is contracting. Certainly the airline industry is having real problems. And since we don't seem to have our guest this evening, why don't you give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY? That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll just have open lines. And I'll ask our producer to call our family and see if they can get us any other notes for Melody. I talked to Melody this morning, and I assumed that she would be with us. In fact, I'm going to ask our producer to come in, and I will go ahead and give her another number. Maybe this will get through any better, but under many circumstances, the world financial system is in collapse today. And so we do hope that if you're out there, you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Well, we're simply talking about what's happening as far as the world economic system is concerned, and certainly we really feel that there's some very real problems, and there is no solution to it. Because, you see, down throughout all history, every time a fiat money system has been tried, it has failed. And it was certainly used in ancient Greece. It was used in ancient Rome. There they just simply clipped the coins, or they put out coins that had no intrinsic value, massively expanded the monetary supply. And this is, of course, what led in large part, to the collapse of Rome in 476 A.D., Now, you have to remember that under Diocletian, and Diocletian was the emperor of Rome, from about 300 to about 312, somewhere in there, and Diocletian, of course, had tried to control the roaring prices at that time simply by imposing wage and price controls it was a capital offense. They would simply murder you and seize everything you had if you were found selling a product at higher than the price controls. They had wage and price controls at that time, but of course it didn't do any good. People still, of course, were raising prices. They had to survive because wage and price controls simply do not work. Well, anyway, of course, what happened down the line was that Diocletian eventually divided the Roman Empire into two parts. The part to the east was the Byzantine Empire. The part to the west was the Roman Empire. And the Rome, of course, stayed on a fiat money system and kept issuing debased coins, whereas the Byzantine Empire maintained a gold dinar, and they existed for 1,000 years after Rome fell. And the key, of course, into maintaining a stable society is a stable currency. Well, of course, everything's being done today to destroy our stable currency, and this is one reason why we're having the problems we are today. Now, our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So give us a call. We'd love, of course, to hear from you because, of course, it's going to be open lines for this next hour. And it's unfortunate, but we do not have our regularly scheduled guests. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll talk about whatever you would like to talk about. But right now, of course, I think we ought to explore what's happening financially because, of course, this threatens the stability of our society, the stability of the entire world. And the entire world economy is beginning to quake. Inflation, certainly in China, is getting up to 9 to 10%. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and since we don't have our regularly scheduled guests, it's going to be open line Monday. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we're simply pointing out that inflation is rampant throughout the world. In Japan, in China, it's gone from about 8 to 9, pushing 10% inflation. And, of course, in Vietnam, it's 25%. In Russia, it's somewhere between 30 and 40%. In South America, certainly in Venezuela, it's running 30%. I mean, you have to understand that with a 30% inflation in 3 years, why half the value of your currency is gone, and 6 years, why your property is more or less worthless. So, basically, people do not understand where this is all leading to, and we do hope, of course, that people are beginning to make plans here, because our real inflation rate in the United States at the present time, according to Bob Chapman, who is getting a lot of his information from John Williams, of course, is a Shadow Statistics website. That's Shadow Statistics. So look it up, Google it, and you can get his website. The real inflation rate is over 13% in the United States. The M3 is running somewhere between 16%, 17%, and 18%, which reflects the inflation rate in the future. Unemployment's really running, the real unemployment rate is running 13%, but they can't tell the American people what's really going on. They want, of course, keep us fat and dumb and happy until the election. In fact, they're even talking about the solution to the economic downturn, and that is going to be another economic stimulus situation, as you remember here. Just a few months ago, to try to keep the economy going. Why, of course, they spent $150 billion that they didn't have. They just simply created the money out of nothing. And, of course, they gave $100 billion to people in the form of $600 checks and another $50 billion to the corporations so that they could, you know. And, of course, the whole idea is you pour money into the economy, and that's supposed to stimulate it, and it does. And, you know, of course, what happened was, you know, certainly purchases and a lot of the stores went up, and, of course, people were buying things or paying off some of their loans and things of that sort. But now the effect of the economic stimulus is gone. So what do you do? Why you create more money? Now, you must understand that between 1971 and the year 2005, the Federal Reserve System, which was supposed to, of course, have maintained the stability of our currency, the Federal Reserve System actually increased the money in circulation, or the money in credit in circulation, 12-fold, increased it 12 times over. And then in the last 3 years, between 2005 and the present, they put $4 trillion and credit into our economy in just a 3-year period. And you want to verify this is covered by Representative Ron Paul and some of the material we put out. And you can go up to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And actually, you can certainly scroll down to the part that says other videos and watch some of those other videos. I can't tell you which one it's in, but on at least on one of them, Representative Paul talks about the increase in the money and credit over a 3-year period of $4 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, what's $1 trillion? It took, you know, from 1787 up until the year 1980 to accumulate a debt of $1 trillion for the United States. Today we are pushing, I think it's $9.6 trillion. We've gone from 1980 up to the present time $9.6 trillion. We've increased $8.6 trillion in just a few years. And believe me, it's just like a drunken sailor. And, of course, what's the solution? More alcohol or more money? And, of course, this eventually destroys the value of our currency. Well, we've got Jane calling from Sacramento. Hi, Jane. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Just a real quick question, Dr. Stan. I've heard say that basically...
Yeah, just go right ahead and speak up, please.
Okay. I've heard other people say that they may choose this time to, around the Olympics, to maybe, or the shortly thereafter, to release whatever pandemic they've been working on with this 1918 flu. And I figured they pretty much already know that we're on to them about the financial stuff, and I'm just kind of wondering what you think about...
Well, I'll tell you what, this is basically a theme of a book called Rainbow Six. It was published probably 8 years ago, and it was written by Tom Clancy, and it talked about the Olympics that were to be held in Australia at that time, and they were going to, of course, do exactly what you're describing. I really don't think that they're going to do that, but heaven only knows what they're up to. I mean, they would resort to anything. They would like to kill off most of the people in the world. There is an elitist mentality that really wants to kill off the majority of the people in the world. You only need to read my treatise on the Population Control Agenda monograph. It's up on our webpage, and we recommend it to people, or they can get a copy of that directly from Radio Liberty. And, of course, all you need to do is go to the Georgia Guidestones and see where they talk about killing 95% of the world population. Well, they don't say kill them. They just say maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. They must mean it because they put it up there in 8 different languages on the Georgia Guidestones. Anybody can go to our website, see the pictures of them. I've been there several occasions. I've talked to the people in that area, and everybody knows it's a satanic monument. Of course, it's a Luciferian monument dedicated to the Age of Reason, dedicated to Tom Paine, who, of course, had an intense hatred for Christianity, and you can read that in his book, The Age of Reason, which was an effort to destroy the Christian faith. So, but whether they're really going to do that at this time in history, well, we'll just have to wait and see. I wouldn't put it past them, but certainly I think that they're trying to get us really scared, and they'll focus us on that. They'll focus our attention on the Olympics. They'll focus our attention on this threat of a global epidemic. And I really think, of course, they're in the process of plotting a massive war with Iran. It's supposed to be just a 10-day war, but heaven help us if it goes much beyond that. And, of course, when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. So what they do is they focus our attention on one thing while they're up to something else. I've heard these stories, too, and people keep telling me about it. And, well, I'm just not going to panic, Jane, because I think that they know what's going to happen. I do not think it's going to happen, but heaven only knows. I don't have any inside information. They could do whatever they want to, because the American people would never believe that people at the highest levels of our government would have created horrible new diseases to kill off large parts of the world population, because they've never read Dr. MacArthur's testimony, which incidentally we do offer through Radio Liberty. We have the entire text of it, which somebody had sent to both myself and to Joyce Riley, where he actually talks about wanting $10 million to create a new disease for which there is no immune response, a new form of mass killing. And he wanted the money. They knew what they were doing, and they wanted the money to produce this new disease. And 10 years later, he came up with Ebola fever. 10 years later, we came up with Marburg disease. 10 years later, we came up with chronic fatigue and the fibromyalgia. 10 years later, we came up with Lyme disease. 10 years later, we came up with something called the AIDS epidemic. Well, I think we probably got our money's worth, don't you?
I think we're living in
Yeah, I think we are, too. I think we're living in an evil and fallen world. All we can do, of course, is talk to people, let them understand the spiritual component. It's up to us, of course, to be prepared to build up our immune system as best we can, but in the final analysis, God will make the decision as to who survives and who does not.
Yeah,
anything else,
right.
Jane?
No, that was it. I just heard those things and... Yeah, I guess it's like anything else. Who knows?
So we'll just have to wait and see. We had Russell calling us from Spokane, but he hung up. So we have open lines right now. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or a comment, you agree or disagree, we'll talk about whatever thing you'd like. But let me just suggest, if you have never read Rainbow Six, and we always sort of carry that book, but if you've never read Rainbow Six by Tom Clancy, let me suggest you get it. It is an excellent book. I mean, it reads like any of Tom Clancy's thrillers, and of course sometimes they're a little risque, but there's an awful lot of good information in this book. And as he says at the opening of the book, there are facts in this book that the government does not want you to know, and I'm sure there are, because of course the people at the highest levels of our government were intent upon disseminating this epidemic throughout the world. We know, for instance, right now, we are using vaccines throughout the world that contain mercury, which will affect the fertility of unborn generations. We know that they have put diseases into certain of their vaccines. I should say that things that would produce abortion or miscarriages. And we've talked to doctors from both the Philippines and Kenya who confirmed the fact that they put a chorionotatropin in the tetanus vaccine and gave it to women who thought that this was going to protect them from tetanus. Not to men, and only in childbearing women. And, of course, it was a massive experiment to see if they could increase abortions. And, boy, did they do that, of course. That people thought they were having spontaneous miscarriages, but they weren't. It's part of the genocidal agenda that they're following today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But give us a call here at Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And right now, let's go to Kurt calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. Yeah, I had promised you a long time ago I'd find this book. I finally found it. And I talked to you about Napoleon Hill, who wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, which seems to be rather innocuous but doesn't ever quite go anywhere. But when you finish it, you understand the concepts in the book, maybe.
Well, of course, that's a name it and claim it theology.
Well,
you know?
Actually, I don't like that term at all because I find that when people use it, they use it with great misunderstanding.
All right, fine. Well, you tell me about Napoleon Hill's book.
He wrote a series of books, but as far as I know, this is the last one he wrote in 1971. And he talked somewhere in this book, I haven't found this phrase yet, he talked about the ascended masters, were his secrets.
All right, of course, the Ascended Masters, so these occult beings, really they're demonic beings, who are really sort of working behind the scenes directing what's going on. But you hang on there for just
sure.
a moment, Kurt. We'll be back in just a moment. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You're right ahead there, Kurt.
Okay, I just want to read a couple of paragraphs from Chapter 4 of this book, You Can Work Your Own Miracles. He said, our unseen guides, whose existence can be proved only by those who have recognized them and accepted their services, remain at our service from the time of our birth until our death.
Now, of course, what's the title of this book, Kurt?
You Can Work Your Own Miracles.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Go ahead. So basically he's saying that there are these unseen guides, these mystical beings out there who will help us get what we want. Is that basically what he's saying?
Oh, yeah. This is the root of channeling, I think. He said, I treat my 8 guiding princes as though they were real people whose entire services are at my command throughout life. I give them orders and thank them for their services just as I would do if they were people. And they react to my requests as though they were real people. He gives a description of them, but then he talks about some people that have used similar. He said, Thomas A. Edison, Henry Ford, Luther Burbank, Andrew Carnegie, Elmer R. Gates, and Dr. Alexander Graham Bell went to great lengths in their descriptions of their experiences with unseen guides. Although some of these men did not refer to these unseen sources or to these invisible sources of aid as guides, Dr. Bell in particular believed that the invisible source of aid was nothing but a direct contact with infinite intelligence brought about by the individual's stimulation of his own mind through a burning desire for the attainment of definite objectives. This book is just full of this stuff, which is obviously Satanism.
Well, it is. Basically, of course, it is their belief that there are these invisible forces out there that you can tap into. And of course, this is the basic theme of Rhonda Byrne's new book, The Secret, and of course her DVD. And for our listeners out there, if you've never really got these, if there's any way you can borrow them from somebody else, let me suggest you do that. I hate to have you put out the $15 for her little book or the $19.95 for a video, but if you can't get it any other way, it's worthwhile getting and watching. Because, of course, in the DVD, they tell you that there's a genie out there, a genie who will do whatever you want and give you whatever you want. All you need to do is simply ask for it and apply the law of attraction. And your thoughts then will be converted into reality. And if you want wealth, if you want power, whatever you want, it's there. And she's absolutely right. And I'm sure, certainly I recognize the name of Thomas Edison and Henry Ford and several of the other people that Napoleon Hill talks about who were involved in the occult. In fact, so many of our world leaders in the past and our world leaders today are involved in the occult and tapping into this supernatural power. But as you know, Kurt, you and I should not be doing that. All we can do is warn people against it because it is there. And the problem is that it works. And Casey had tapped into this power. Suddenly Joan Quigley, who is Nancy Reagan and, of course, Ronald Reagan's astrologer, had tapped into this unknown power that's out there. And of course, so many of our leaders, our national leaders, certainly, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Richard Nixon were tapping into the occult. But people do not understand this, that there really are these forces that are working right in our White House today. In fact, when Bill Clinton was the president, there was a great deal of talk about the witchcraft in the White House, but you will never hear that mentioned out today.
I wanted to point out something else he said here.
All right, well, just hold that thought, because
sure.
we're going to bring our stations back on board, and then we'd like to get your thoughts on what's going on. We'll be right back here with Kurt. Well, this is Dr. Stan, because our guest this evening did not show up. So we have Kurt on the line with us. That's Kurt. And so give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a subject you would like to talk about. But Kurt had been reading a book by Napoleon Hill. Now, It certainly is. In the years past, Napoleon Hill was well known for one of these people, and I like to call it name it and claim it, but of course Kurt doesn't like that phrase. Let's just say that you can ask for the power, you can ask for the wealth, you can ask for whatever you want, and you're going to get it. And this is the path to wealth. But you certainly join their church, and of course you give them a certain amount of money, and you're going to get all these wonderful things. But in this book that Kurt's describing, and what was the title of this book again?
This was You Can Work Your Own Miracles by Napoleon Hill, who is most famous for his book Think and Grow Rich.
All right, fine. But I think, of course, what this is really about, he talks about the spirit guides, and you can get them to do these things for you. He talks about his relationship with the spirit guides. And so you go ahead, because I think it's so important for people to understand that this is what Rhonda Byrne and Oprah Winfrey and Larry King are pushing today as they push Rhonda Byrne's material. And, of course, this is exactly what Napoleon Hill was advocating some years ago, what this is 30 or 40 years ago. And this is what Edgar Cayce was doing. All of these people, these mystics, were Joan Quigley, as I mentioned, with Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan's astrologer. And if you haven't ever read Joan Quigley's book, What Did Joan Say? Is the title of it. What Did Joan Say? By Joan Quigley, who was Ronald Reagan's astrologer. But you're never going to hear about this sort of thing. You're not supposed to, because Nancy Reagan had an astrologer. There was witchcraft in the White House when Bill Clinton was there. But this is never talked about. So go ahead, Kurt.
There's a point that I've been wanting to bring up related to this, different and yet very related, for some time as you talk about masonry and things like that. Notice that he used the words, but a direct contact with infinite intelligence. Now, if we look back in the revolutionary period, we find most of our leaders don't refer to God directly, but by some euphemism like providence or the great, I mean, they might as well be saying the great architect of the universe, is what I feel at times. These words used to describe God, what God?
You're absolutely right. And, Chris, the thing is, the Masons worship God, but they worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe. And yes, they do use these other terms very intentionally so that you think they're talking about the same God. But what people do not understand, and certainly our leaders never tell us, our religious leaders, are that there are other gods out there that these people believe in. And when they say they believe in God, that doesn't mean they believe in the God of the Bible. So, yes, you're absolutely right, Kurt. Anything else?
Yeah, so when I look at Lincoln's speeches or George Washington's writings or Jefferson's writings or Adams' writings, when I look at the great people in our history, the ones that many times are considered to have been great Christians, there are all these words, and you really wonder,
well, of course,
what God do they mean?
Well, you have to, of course, Kurt, go to all of their writings. You can't take any isolated one. And if you, of course, read the book We Carry, America's God and Freedom by William Frederick, he has, of course, a whole section there in Washington, who as a youth was writing extensively about Christianity and was actually making first remarks every day. What do we know that he believed in as he grew older? I'm not certain. But, of course, he certainly was founded and grounded in Christianity. If you read Jefferson's writings, certainly at times why, of course, he was not referring to the God of the Bible. But towards the end of his life, why he openly talks about how he had been more or less involved with this pursuit of mysticism. But finally, and I paraphrase him, he finally said, you know, this it totally doesn't get you any place. So I've decided to rest my head on the gentle pillow that Christ has provided for me. And I really think that, of course, at one time he and Adams were really at loggerhead. But eventually, of course, they'd come around. They rejected many of the Christian sects at that time. In fact, I have one writings of Thomas Jefferson where, of course, Adams had told him that he would hope that he'd become a Calvinist before he died. And, of course, Jefferson's remark, his reply was that I will live forever because I will never become a Calvinist. And, of course, the thing is, there are things about Calvinism that I can't accept at all. So we have to understand what we believe and what the Lord said. And so I would agree there with Thomas Jefferson. I would never become a Calvinist, but they talk about a 5-point Calvinist. I'm about 4.5 points somewhere there, but I'd never be a full-fledged Calvinist, that's for sure. Anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, one last thing to wrap it up, I guess, at the end of the music there.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think that we should watch when we read, because the use may have been sociologically accepted, but it may be very distractive to our history in leading in propagandistic ways to other points that are a distraction.
And of course, the other thing is, in reading the older writings, always notice the words that they capitalize. Well, they capitalize power, that deifies power, as Kipling did so often. Hey, God bless. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest did not show up, so it's you out there in the listening audience, our guest. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But right now we have Mike calling from Santa Cruz, and we have on the line Mike from Coeur d'Alene. And if you're out there in the listening audience and like to call us, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I have a couple things, if I may.
Go ahead.
And keep them brief. First, to pick up on Kurt's thread about the word providence that was used by the founders of this nation and the problematic use of the word, you can find the word frequently in Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike seems to love the word. He even, on page 809, explains that the providence of God rules directly in all the affairs and changes of material things. That would sound great to us today, listening to a Freemason mouthing those words, quoting their own guru. But on the same page, he explains that we are gods by our own reckoning and may as well shut up our temples. And it goes on. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but we better stick to the Word of God daily and feast on that, and we'll know the truth when we hear it, and we'll also know the lies when we hear them.
That's a good point, Mike, and I certainly agree with you. When people say they believe in God, you have to ask, what God are you talking about? Is the God of Masonry, certainly the God of Skull and Bones, the God of so many of these organizations, is not the God of the Bible. Until people understand that there are other gods out there that these people pay allegiance to, and of course all of this gets into the Gnostic beliefs, the Kabbalah, and of course these secrets have been passed down through the ages, through the Theosophists, and through the Rosicrucians, and through the Illuminists, and through modern-day Masonry, and today into the Lucis Trust, and the new group of world servers, and but, of course, they worship a different God. It's really Gnosticism. So go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, well, Kurt was also talking about the secret and Napoleon Hill and various powers of the mind. And I can speak from 20 years of my own experience in the New Age movement. I've messed around in many different facets of it. And I don't want to dwell on the discussion of spirit guides. I spent a lot of time with that, too, but I'd rather...
You did have a spirit guide, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I pursued things like that for most of a decade. And I don't want to get too sidetracked on that. I got involved, very involved with various forms of mediumship. But the power of the mind is where I
Hold that thought, Mike. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, we have Mike with us from Santa Cruz. And Mike, of course, which for at least 20 years of his life, was involved with the New Age and the occult and the spirit guides. And he someday maybe we'll get him on and have him tell you some of his experiences. But right now, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Mike is simply pointing out that when people talk about providence, they talk about the great architect of the universe, they talk about God. Just make sure they're talking about the same God that you are thinking of, the God of the Bible, because there really are the gods out there. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. It's open line Monday. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this power of the mind, I wanted to call people, that at least those who understand the Bible who are listening in the audience. We understand God, the God of Genesis, the book of Genesis, as recorded by Moses, was the creator of the universe. And how he did this, we don't know. I don't know if we ever will, or someday in eternity we will, I suppose. But we teach it in terms of God, by his desire or by his thought, brought the physical universe into existence at what I call the beginning of eternity, or the beginning of the physical, there was a beginning point to the physical universe. So with God's mind, he created the world. And like I say, I don't presume to know how he did that, or even if that's a good description of it. But the way it is taught throughout the New Age movement, there's almost a common, there's a common thread that almost runs through every facet of it, and certainly through the secret and hermetic philosophy, which is the core of the secret. Man, according to these philosophies, presumes or should presume to be able to create things the same way God created the universe.
In other words, with our mind, we can create matter, we can create change, we can have great wealth. With our mind, well, of course, we can bring the whole universe in line with our desires, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So people should study the Bible, first of all, and study what it says about creation and God and who we are and who and what the physical world is in relation to God, and understand as much as possible about how all this came into being, and then compare that with what's taught in the New Age movement, and you'll get a sense of the lie that really extended from the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3.
And yet, of course, it's right today. And, of course, if you read Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, that sold probably 7 or 8 million copies by now, she will tell you the truth, at least according to her, and that is that you are God. And you can actually tap into this supernatural power. If you watch the DVD, you'll find out there's a genie out there just waiting to serve you. Well, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, don't call him that genie. Don't call him the spirit guides. Understand, of course, that really, yeah, you really can contact these other beings from this other dimension. But we're told in the book of Deuteronomy to avoid the diviners and to avoid the fortune tellers and to avoid the people who are doing sorcery and to avoid the people, of course, who are mediums, and understand, because this is a one-way path to eternal damnation. Anything else you want to say, Mike?
Well, yeah, the thing I really called about was there's this book that came out last week by this author, Ron Susskind. Have you heard
of
it?
Yes, I have. I haven't read it yet. Of course, it's talking about, of course, how they lied to us about, of course, the weapons of mass destruction.
So do you believe he's telling the truth?
Oh, I think he is. Of course he's telling the truth.
It looks that way to me,
right.
But I don't have a lot to go on.
Well, we've got the book. When I have a chance, maybe I'll read it when I'm gone later this week, and we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, sure. But I think the listeners might be interested, at least to get a thumbnail overview.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll try to read that book on my trip. I'm going up to be back in Virginia. Incidentally, if you're living in Virginia and want to know about the speech we're going to be giving, a couple of speeches there at a camp meeting in Virginia, I think it's open, and give us a call. We'll give you the telephone number, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. It'll be in Virginia on the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. Bye-bye. God bless, Mike. Thanks so much. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. It's open line Monday. And Mike, do you have a question or comment?
I do. And it seems like it's the mic night for you.
It's mic night, right. I'm sitting in front of a mic as well, so go ahead.
Hey, I know you've had William Grigg on a few times and enjoy when you have him on. Or I think it's monthly, is it, or weekly?
No, he's on. He's actually on our program twice a week. Once usually on a 3 o'clock program, and then ordinarily on Friday at 9 o'clock. We'll have him on tomorrow evening at 9. This is what I'm hoping for. We're trying to reach him, but William is certainly one of the most articulate of our spokesmen, don't you think?
Oh, he does a great job, and anybody wanting to know his testimony would be encouraged by listening to that as well. The one of the things that he has mentioned on the times that he has been on your show is a download that people can get on the internet, and it's written by my good friend Bill Denman, and it talks about how to convert paper, worthless paper, to money, to gold. Now, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't, but
it's in an obscure website. It's called the ChristianLibertyParty.com. And when you enter that first page, the home page there. It's on the left-hand side, and it says Paper to Gold. And it's a part of a book that was released to help benefit Ron Paul's campaign up here in northern Idaho. And it's a very good read if you wanted to read it and maybe even have Bill. He's an older gentleman who I am just amazed at the intel that he has and the mental fortitude that he and acumen that he has of financial matters. And I know that you do a lot with finances, and you have people who do gold and silver sales on, and like Melody, and I thought that might be a good compliment to you.
All right, well, I appreciate so much you letting us know about it. The thing is that you have to be a little careful what you do, because, of course, the government really doesn't care whether they violate the law. There were the people who put out the Liberty dollars, and, of course, they were simply minting a currency. And, of course, the government came in and seized it all, and seized all the holdings of all the people who were simply trying to buy gold and silver, and of course, or even deposit with them, and then taking out a currency that was denominated in gold and silver. The thing is that the people on the other side want to keep us enslaved, and if you can control the monetary system, you control the people. So, but we certainly might very well try to get it. Why don't you call us off the air and give us the telephone number of this gentleman? We'll take a look at his material and decide, okay?
You bet. Well, thank you for your time.
God bless. Thanks very much. Bye. And let's go to Janet, who's calling from Idaho as well. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. Hi, Janet. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I just happened to catch your show on my way home from work, and I have no idea what your topic was, but I was curious about something. Is there honestly any reason to name yourself as any political party anymore?
Well, I think it's rather foolish, because certainly, do you want to be a Democrat, support all the things that they support? Do you want to be a Republican that has betrayed all of the concepts of, that the Republican Party once stood for, and is simply a power structure of people looking after, advancing the cause of the politicians? I don't think so. I think that you should be an independent and vote for the person who parallels your views, whether they have a chance to win or not, because the choice between John McCain and Obama, certainly Barack Hussein Obama, is a choice between being shot and being hung. I don't like either one of them. And of course, what they say is nothing.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there.
Right. Of course, the thing is, what they're saying has nothing to do with what they're going to do. John McCain is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. When he, of course, was in Vietnam, we're told he was a war hero. No, he actually went over to the other side, and of course, there were many people that were with him who feel that he was a traitor. He did everything, so he got better treatment, and he got better treatment than the rest of them. And a lot of these stories you're hearing, of course, are simply concocted. The truth of the matter is, if you go up on the Internet and look, there's some websites that deal with the groups of veterans who are trying to, and this has been going on for many years, this has nothing to do with the president's election, go into, of course, John McCain's traitorous actions. John, when he was a prisoner of war, and going over to the other side and helping the other side, and of course giving propaganda announcements, violating his whole oath, I'm a military officer. But even more than that, of course, when he and John Kerry headed the Senate hearings dealing with the POWs who were abandoned in Vietnam and Laos, the prisoners of war, the brave and courageous prisoners of war who didn't come home with John McCain, he did everything he could to cover up the truth about that, and that is inexcusable. I mean, I could forgive almost anything he did, but to condemn those other people and to conceal from the American people that we abandoned probably close to 2,000 American soldiers, many are still over there suffering, wondering why nobody home here really cares.
Well,
because a lot of this is...
I was just getting to the point where I don't want to be Democrat and don't want to be Republican.
All right, fine.
So
well,
the independents are a pain in the ass as well.
Right, of course. Well, I'll tell you, there is one person running for the Constitution Party. He's a man of integrity. He's a friend of mine, and you might look it up, the Constitution Party. He's not getting any mention at all by the media. The media is, of course, talking about Libertarian Bob Barr, but they never talk about Chuck Baldwin from the Constitution Party.
I can't remember his name, but I know who you mean.
All right, fine. He's a minister, but he doesn't wear his religion on his sleeve. He talks just like Ron Paul because he supports Ron Paul's programs. And we aren't ready to get Chuck on again because he's certainly not going to get on anybody else's radio programs regularly. He does a great job. Okay,
well,
anything else?
Thank you very much. I was getting fairly disgusted with the whole system. So
don't get disgusted with the system. We need to use the system to educate people. And really, it's times like this when people are willing first to hear what we have to say. And not only that, but of course, as we tell them about the coming war with Iran, as we tell them about the coming collapse of the value of the dollar, maybe they are not going to believe you now, but down the line, as these things come to pass, as the value dollar loses its value, as we see authoritarian controls put on, as we expand the war in the Middle East, they'll come to you, ask you for answers, and I hope you'll give it to them. And my job, of course, is... Go ahead.
The other thing I was going to ask you about...
Right.
...is the thing about the Fair Practices Act.
Right now, I don't know about that. What is that speaking of?
Oh, that's the thing where if a Christian station puts on their viewpoint, they'll have to, if this law passes, they'll also have to put the opposite viewpoint on.
Are you talking about the fairness bill?
The fairness doctrine.
Let's hope and pray that that doesn't come to pass. We're just going to have to wait and see. One of the things that Ronald Reagan did that I will always be grateful for was to do away with the fairness doctrine. It was simply totally unfair. Anything else?
Thank you.
God bless. And that was Janet calling from Idaho. And let's go to Daniel calling from Southern California. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, love to hear from you. Daniel, how are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Okay, well, there's been a lot of news lately, and, of course, we have the bread and circuses, and, you know, ball games starting up, breaking up, and, I mean, I like football, and I just hope I don't spend too many hours watching it. I probably will, though, in the next 6 months, but that's not what's important, though. What's important is that, you know, how many gallons of gas do we have to buy before it costs an American soldier's life? Or an Iraqi soldier, or a terrorist. I know that they lie about the oil, and there's no shortage of supply, but how many refineries have been built since, the beginning of the war on terror?
Let me tell you that in the last 30, 35 years, we've gone from about 340 refineries down to about 140 refineries. Now, they've expanded as we have, but they're in the hands, of course, of the elite, and they're using the environmental movement. They're using the environmental movement to block the building of other refineries. This is what it's really all about. When are the American people going to understand? The environmental movement is being created and financed by the very people that supposedly they're fighting, and the people in the environmentalists aren't smart enough to realize that. And so basically, of course, they don't want a competition. Why do you think that the oil companies don't want oil developed here in the United States? Well, because there's so much oil in the world that, of course, the world would be flooded with oil. It would be down to maybe 10, 20, well, probably couldn't go back to $10 a barrel because of the destruction of the value of the dollar, but probably $30 or $40 now. A barrel would be more than adequate. I mean, in fact, I've got in my latest newsletter, which will be out before long, we simply quote the heads of Shell Oil and Exxon saying the price of oil should be $50 a barrel today. So why isn't it? Well, of course, the speculators ran it up. And of course, the speculators, hedge funds, were certainly working in conjunction with the commodities regulating board, and they allowed them to run up the price of oil because Exxon and Shell and Chevron have made more money in this last 9 months than they've ever made, any corporations have ever made throughout all recorded time. Now, I do believe the price of oil is going to come down, but that's, of course, to stifle competition.
Right, and that's OPEC, too. And, right. You know, everybody goes to OPEC to sell the oil because that's the big honeypot. But that's not the only market. See, if you take even individual states like Montana, take California, for instance, where we're at, California could run its own gas stations with its own oil out of its own ground and tax it and make tons of money, and people would drive. They could sell and make a major profit at $1.50 a gallon or $1 a gallon. People would drive from surrounding states just to go fill up their gas station gas tanks, and they would spend money. And you know, why do people go to Mexico? They have to shut down their gas. We're in Mexico because it's $1 a gallon.
Sure. Because the thing is that when government gets in, it's nothing but problems. So, I mean, I believe, of course, in private oil companies, but certainly you're absolutely right. According to the Geological Survey report that came out about the year 2000, well, it didn't quite come out. There was a Dr. Prince who was working at Price, I believe it was, working for the Geological Survey. And, of course, he came up with a report saying there were about 40 billion barrels of oil, 40 billion barrels of oil up in the Bakken Reserve in Montana and Idaho and South Dakota. And, of course, you'd never guess what happened to him. He up and died just before the report was ever published, and the Geological Survey has done everything they could to suppress that information. And, of course, you're right, there are massive oil pools off the East Coast and the West Coast in Alaska throughout the Aleutians. The world is awash with oil. But, of course, if they don't have shortages, the price doesn't go up, so they create the artificial shortages. Then they allow the speculators, who, of course, work hand in glove with the establishment, to drive the price up. And we suffer, and then, of course, when we're just sure that the price is going to go to $200 a barrel, then they drop the price of oil. It'll go up again. It'll be going up and down whenever they want it to do. It won't have anything to do with the law of supply and demand. Hey, you hang on there. Daniel, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this night's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Daniel, you go right ahead. You have something else you want to say?
Well, I know there was a news story a couple of days ago about a bubbling crude oil come out of the ground in Pomona or something, and somebody lit that on fire, and they go, oh, look, it's 812 degrees. But, you know, you light an oil well on fire, that's probably what it burns. But there's rocky terrain, and you have to slant drill. But the technology is there. You can go out in the middle of Death Valley, you drill down probably 3 miles and run a major oil out of there, you know. But the oil's everywhere, you're right. Refineries are not being built. That's the problem. I mean, and it doesn't take 10 years to build a refinery. I've seen them retrofit power plants, and you know, it takes 30 days for the concrete to set. And if you're running crews, you could in a month you could have a refinery a month simultaneously build several. But that's short-term oil in a free market. You know, we're not going to be buying oil anymore. But that's all. I mean, we really got to get together and pray. It's a spiritual problem. Those are the physical attributes of it, and so we have a lack of leadership, and that begins with us in our own homes and families. And God bless you. Thank you for the time and keeping up the good work, Dr. Stan.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. We appreciate your call, and bye-bye. God bless. And, of course, you know, of course, the song, what you're hearing about is, my goodness, what we need to do is develop alternative energy sources. What we need is solar and wind power. Now, I mean, if you're out there in the listening audience, you honestly believe that we're going to be able to solve our problem with solar and wind power? What happens to your automobile? Are you going to run your automobile on wind power? Are you going to run your automobile on solar power? And, of course, it's just totally impractical. We need gasoline, of course, until we come up with an alternative. And they have no means, way to come up with an alternative because they don't want an alternative. What about ethanol? What about ethanol from corn? Well, what we're doing is simply driving up the price of corn and driving up the price of anything, any sort of animal husbandry that depends upon corn feeding. And that's why the price of chickens and the price of eggs and the price of milk are going up, and why many of the dairy farmers and cattle farmers are just killing their cattle because they can't afford to actually keep them anymore. And whenever the government comes up with a program like ethanol, you know, so we can become energy independent, there's always the law of unintended consequences. The only reason ethanol is even financially feasible is because we are subsidizing it. I'm against subsidies, and the one thing I will say for John McCain, even though I don't like him, he's come out and said, these subsidies are wrong, and I agree with him 100%. I hope you do as well. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment as we, of course, wrap up today's program, and we have got another great guest for the next hour, but at least this one is going to be on the line. Our telephone number, 1-888-24 Liberty, for the next hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, this is the time I need to remind you, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, but there's something else why we could suggest to you, and that is, of course, have you ever wondered why it is that people who live down along the Mediterranean Sea, there in southern Europe, live longer, they eat all sorts of butter and the meat and all the things we're told are bad for us, and yet they live longer and they're healthier than the rest of people in Europe, and that's known as the Mediterranean diet. And what is it about the diet? Well, they drink red wine, and there's a molecule in red wine called resveratrol. And resveratrol is known as a master molecule. It actually turns off 100 or maybe even as many as 200 other genes off or on. They're just little switches. And of course, in the studies and mice, why the mice have lived a lot longer than their counterparts that didn't take the resveratrol. And there's a product called Longevinex, which Barbara and I have taken for some time. There have been extensive studies on that. And those extensive studies have shown in animal studies that the animals lived longer and did far better if they were taking Longevinex. Well, we'd wanted actually to carry it here at Radio Liberty, but the manufacturer's made an offer which is really very, very good. And he says that if you buy five boxes of Longevinex at the regular price of $36.95 a box, and you mention Dr. Stan, he'll send you five boxes free. Now, we actually get large numbers of boxes. We provide them for many of our friends. And, of course, we just ordered 40 boxes of Longevinex today. If you're interested in getting this special offer, and it's, I don't know how long it's going to be on, but the special offer, you can, for Longevinex, buy five and get five free. You call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. Just mention you heard it on Dr. Stan's program, and you'll get the special. And I think it's good. I wouldn't be even suggesting it if I didn't think that it would benefit people. And we've known a lot of people who have taken it and have done very, very well. So anyway, if you'd like more information, you can call us, but better still, call 866-405-4000. You're never going to get a better offer than this. I don't know how long it's going to be on. But we will be having Bill Sardi on some of our programs here to talk about Longevinex. And if we have our telephone number, if you'd like, of course, to know more about Radio Liberty and about some of the items we have going into the background of the oil crisis, we have a four-tape set called The Oil Deception, four-CD set. We have Lindsay Williams' video, the one he's not allowed to distribute anymore, but we have it. It's called The Energy Non-Crisis, and they're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you get either one of them and you want to get my newsletters, are up on the Internet. September and October of 2005, called Peak Oil and Peak Oil 2. It's all a scam, ladies and gentlemen. And we give you the documentation there. And, of course, we refer you to Thomas Gold's book, he was an astrophysicist from Princeton, I believe it was, and he wrote about, of course, how there's lots of oil. This is what the Russians are doing. You have to drill down deep, about 44,000 feet, and you come into these massive oil pools, which is what the Russians didn't really do it. We drill those oil wells for them. Of course, you need to get our talk on a little pamphlet called The Communist Capitalist Alliance to learn how we have drilled the oil wells and the natural gas wells and the pipelines for the Russians so they can build up their military so they can attack Georgia today. That's how the game is played. But, of course, we can't let the American people know that. You need to get a little pamphlet called The Communist Capitalist Alliance going into how the United States has funded communism since inception. You need to get our DVD, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. There's so much information. Go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, and of course there you'll find all of the items listed. If you want a free catalog, we'll send it to you in CD-ROM or written. You have to let us know what you want. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, or you can listen to our internet programs there. Simply 9 hours a day won't get much accomplished. Tell us about our program. What cards to pass off, we'll be glad to get them for you. And then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and over the next hour, they're going to be those of our good friend Barry Shamus, who's an Israeli patriot, who, of course, was forced to leave Israel after some 30 years of investigative journalism and reporting on the corruption and the various machinations going on behind the scenes in Israel, because, of course, his life was threatened. But Israel's loss is our gain. Now, Barry does, of course, write emails, and you could get on his email list and get the information. It's being read all throughout the world, but we're privileged to have him with us here a couple of times a week. So without further ado, let's go to Barry Shamus. Hi, Barry. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
All right, fine. What are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, you called yesterday, and it gave me a day to look around. And I think we should start with this war in Georgia.
All right, let's talk for the war in Georgia then.
I'm not sure how it's being portrayed where you are, but in Israel it's being portrayed as an Israeli war against Russia. Do you know about this?
Well, I think it's important that people understand that American troops have been there, American specialists, American Marines, about 1,000 of them, but about 1,000 Israelis have been there training the Georgian military and, of course, helping the Georgian military to be able to withstand this onslaught. Is that what you're speaking of?
Well, 1,000. Israel has armed the entire Georgian army and trained
right.
them.
Right, right. Go ahead.
But it's more serious than that. One is there are two cabinet ministers, high-ranking cabinet ministers, who speak Hebrew and are very, very tied up with Israel. It's more than just tied up. The defense minister, David Kesherish, oh, I hate these names, Kesherishvili, that's his name. David Kesherishvili is Israeli. Are we there?
We are here. We're just hanging on what you have to say.
I hear music. I'm very paranoid every time I think I hear music.
No, you don't hear any music. And you're not hearing any voices. Just keep right on talking, Barry.
Well, the defense minister of Georgia went to high school in Israel. He's Jewish, speaks perfect Hebrew, and he has tied up the Georgian armed forces with the, Israeli armed forces.
Okay. But now, why would Israel really want, of course, get involved in anything in the area of Georgia and suddenly have a surrogate go to war with Russia? This just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's not a surrogate, but first of all, either does the war with Russia. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
You're talking about a peanut attacking an elephant.
Right.
Let's begin with the whole concept that Georgia started this war. At least that has been reported. And why on earth, again, would a peanut attack an elephant? It's pretty obvious. They must have thought they could win somehow. How? Okay. Now, I've heard theories that Georgia expected NATO to come in and rescue them. Actually expected this. Like, they got word that if you challenge Russia, we'll save you. And apparently the Georgian troops are shocked that NATO didn't come in and save Georgia. All right, now there's the other issue, the head of the...
I think I'm going to have you hold that for just a moment. There's the music.
Ah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Barry Samuelson. Barry is saying, that, of course, that the Georgians really anticipated that NATO or the United States would come to their aid. And because, of course, we've been, of course, egging them on, saying, you know, go ahead and attack this breakaway province. People have forgotten history. People have forgotten what happened during the First World War, when, of course, the Germans asked for permission to cross Belgium so they could attack France. And, of course, the British said, oh, no, Belgians, don't give them permission to cross Belgium. You know, we'll stand behind you. And so the Belgians stood up to the Germans, and they were just, of course, run down. And that was used, though, as a justification for World War One. The ruthless Germans had attacked Belgium, but nobody ever mentions that the British told them Belgians not to make any concessions. And then the same thing happened, of course, during the Second World War, when Great Britain was telling Poland, don't make any concessions to Adolf Hitler, don't give him the right of way into Warsaw, you know. And, of course, then we'll stand behind you, don't you worry. And, of course, they didn't mention we're going to stand a long way behind you. Poland stood up to Adolf Hitler, and of course he just smashed Poland, certainly he and his friends of the Soviet Union, because the British wanted the war. And as they got this into the First World War, they got us into the Second World War. Sounds like we've learned the lesson, and we, of course, encouraged Georgia to do exactly what would justify an expansion of the war there in the Caucasus. Would you agree with that?
We don't know. I mean, we can speculate only so far.
Right.
There is proof of what there is proof of. And one was this interview with the head of the Georgian parliament. I believe he's a minister in the government. I believe he's actually not the prime minister, but the head of the Georgian parliament himself. His name was Tamer Yakovashvili. Now, he, another Georgian major leader who speaks fluent Hebrew, that's two of them, along with the defense minister, who went to high school in Israel, no less. And he gives this interview to Yedioth Ahronot. This is just as the war breaks out, thanking Israel for training the Georgian forces, for supplying Georgia with its arms, and saying that we've been killing Russians for Israel, and thanks to your training, we've been killing them by the hundreds all day long. And I read the interview. A very similar interview appeared in Haaretz, where the Georgians...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Oh. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Berry is simply talking about the relationship between the fellow who's in charge of the Defense Department over there in Israel, and apparently there are a number of Israelis, people who are trained in Israel, who are working in Georgia today. And, of course, you know, the Israelis have trained the Georgian army and supplied them with weapons. And so then, of course, we're not hearing a lot about this here, but certainly over in Israel, this is well known that Israel, of course, has been solidly behind Georgia in its effort to stand up to the Soviet Union. So pick up the story there. And actually, of course, apparently the United States was also encouraging Georgia to stand up against the Soviets and actually to move into this breakaway province, which, of course, then provoked the Russians to respond. And now, of course, they're expanding out, not simply in the breakaway province, but into larger sections of Georgia. Several thousand people have been killed. I mean, the people of Georgia are just frantic. They're in the middle of a war zone. A war could start this quickly, but nobody really is talking about the part that Israel has played in this. So pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, the war didn't start this quickly. If you read Israeli reports, apparently it's been a long time in the offing. And look, come on, I mean, Russia is a very big place. You just don't mass your forces in one spot, on the spot. You've got to plan for this. Your armed forces have to be ready for this. It didn't just happen overnight. It caught the world off guard, that's for certain. But Russia was ready.
Right.
Now, what the Israelis are saying is that Russia has been squeezing Israel tremendously over Iran. That, in fact, Russia said if Israel didn't quit training the Georgians, that Russia would supply Iran with a complete anti-aircraft system to handle anything the Israeli airport could throw at the at Iran.
And haven't the Russians actually been supplying Iran with a very sophisticated radar system? And
well, they did. And that's the S-300, I believe. I used to be kind of an expert on anti-aircraft systems. It's been a while since I've been a soldier. But if you read the Israeli reports, Putin warned Israel 6 months ago that if it continued to train the Georgians, it would arm Iran. Now, again, I wish I was in the meetings and I could tell you this is absolutely true. I'm only telling you what the Israeli press reports say. And, you know, that can go either way. But nonetheless, apparently this war has been 6 months in the making, and which is not surprising. Once again, Russia is a huge place, and in order to pinpoint a spot to gather all your forces, it does take months. And apparently, Israel has been training the Georgian forces for business purposes. Believe it or not, I mean, I don't believe it, but Israel has done a ton of arms selling to Georgia. And again, you can ask why Georgia, and then there's a reason. Now, I don't want to say that I know a lot about oil pipelines, but apparently there is running through Georgia an oil pipeline that does not touch Russia. And it eventually makes it to the Mediterranean. And the Russians have their own oil pipeline. Again, remember that the Caucasus, Central Asia, is a very important oil region. It actually borders Iraq and Iran. It's full of oil. And to get the oil out, the Russians had control, but the Georgians were challenging them. And Israel preferred the Georgian route over the Russian route for whatever reason, strategic, economic, financial, there's all kinds of reasons, but Israel preferred the Georgian oil pipeline.
But certainly American technicians, American Marines have been there in large numbers helping Israel as they train the Georgians. So this is not an isolated issue, and it's not an isolated Israeli issue. The Americans have been really, of course, in there helping the Georgians as well, haven't they?
Well, I'd be a lot happier if there were no Israelis whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, the issue that I've been getting from, I wrote this article 2 days ago that you've read, where the first reports of Israeli involvement in Georgia were republished by me.
I'm just saying, from a purely logical point of view, why would Israel want to do anything at all that might antagonize Russia? It's totally illogical, and yet, of course, as you pointed out, it's going on. So much of what's going on is illogical, and yet it's happening. So go right ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, Israel versus Russia, who's going to win? I mean, it's clear cut that Israel should not want to irritate Russia. And frankly, you're right. Georgia was a NATO ally that wanted to join NATO, and Russia was. Look, I've been getting this stuff from people for the last 2 days that the Israeli involvement in the Georgian war is irrelevant compared to the issue of NATO, that the America wants Central Asia to become NATO, and Russia wants to control Central Asia as it traditionally has. There's a big mix-up, but don't forget something. Russia didn't have to attack Georgia. Georgia, if it wants to take care of its breakaway states, in theory, that's its own business. I mean, why would Russia attacked Georgia over two dopey little states, one with 80,000 people. Why would they start a war killing thousands of people? Something big was happening, and people are still very fuzzy about this. It's not Russia's business. It's an internal Georgian business. If there are two breakaway republics and Georgia wants to get them back in line, this is not the business of Russia. There's something wider going on here. Yeah. And the way the Israeli media have portrayed it is that Israel wants the Georgian pipeline over the Russian pipeline, which to me is just nonsense.
Well, of course, they have to give you an explanation, like with so many of the things here in the United States. Why did the market go up today? Why did the market go down today? Why did the administration do this or that? And they give you an explanation, but it's never the true reason, and I agree with you. There's something big in the offing, but of course, what they're doing is using this whole thing, in my estimation, as a diversion. Now, what are your thoughts?
I don't know, but a diversion, people are dying apparently by the thousands.
But of course, but during the war over there in Iraq, we probably killed a million civilians, 500,000 to a million civilians. And who in America really cares? I mean, Sydney, America, the Christians here, they're not concerned that, of course, the Christians are being driven out of Iraq, as long as it doesn't interfere, of course, with them, you know, the ready availability of football and of basketball. How do we care? Why should we care just because half a million or a million Iraqis are killed? And I think, of course, we should, because men and women can become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. But unfortunately, Barry, people are never doing what they should. Their minds are so easily distracted from really important things. And I think, of course, what's going on there is in preparation for something else big that's about to happen. But we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Well, I mean, once again, Iraq is an issue because Georgia actually sent troops to Iraq. I believe it was the only Central European, the only nation actually bordering Iraq that sent its army into Iraq to fight with the Americans. And strangely, yesterday, America returned all the soldiers to Georgia. That also happened. But again, it's a new war and a very confusing one. What worries me is that the Israeli connection is no joke. The defense minister of Georgia is Israeli, Jewish, and speaks perfect Hebrew, and went to high school in Israel. We don't like that. That's not something we necessarily like. And the fact remains, now here's something I know a little about. For the last 7 years, Israel has been resupplying Georgia with a new army, with drones and artillery, anti-aircraft, all kinds of equipment, and the figure is in the billions of dollars. Now, that is a fact that the Georgian army are fighting largely with Israeli equipment, and that's not good. It's just not good for Israel to be involved in a war ultimately with Russia. And who is Israel, by the way, to take on Russia? And I'll tell you something else. Who is Georgia to take on Russia? Now, I know who the leading middleman is, and I know something about him. So I can actually add something new to this conflict. And it's kind of an ugly story, but it's a true one.
All right, fine. You get started. We'll see how much of this we can get done before we get to the break.
The leading middleman between Georgia and, well, it's a company in Israel called Elbit. It supplies the drones and the modern artillery, and it supplied many hundreds of millions of dollars of equipment to the Georgian army. The middleman's name is Rani Milo. Rani Milo was a Likud member of the Knesset, and he was also the mayor of Tel Aviv. And suddenly he became pro-Oslo, and don't forget, the Likud had nothing to do with Oslo, he became a backer of Rabin out of nowhere. When Oslo erupted, Rani Milo quit the Likud, and walk to Rabin.
Hold that. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, that was a quick break.
Go ahead.
All right. Right. Okay, now Ronnie Milow, the prime negotiator and middleman between Israeli arms manufacturers and Georgia, quit the Likud and backed Oslo out of blackmail. And I know something I never use, and I'm going to say it. It's been many years. I don't care. What good am I if I can't add something to this exercise? There are certain salacious facts I never published, but I use them as protection. About Ronnie Milow, this was a very weird, weird meeting I had in Tel Aviv once, and it was quick, but it was kind of shocking. It was with a Tel Aviv madam. It was with someone who knew the seamy side of the... There is a pretty raunchy escort service sex industry in Tel Aviv. And I met this lady, and it was very quick. I never used this information. Ronnie Milow, she told me, the mayor of Tel Aviv, and by the way, I'll back this in court. I'll stick my hands on 1,000 Bibles and say that this is true. I got it from other people afterwards. Ronnie Milow is a masochist, and he used to pay prostitutes to beat him up. And I would use this information on radio in Israel, saying I knew something about a major member of Knesset who was once very high up in Tel Aviv politics, and I would use this to protect myself. But the main middleman between Georgia and Israel in arms sales has an incredible secret that I never revealed. I'm doing it for the first time today. He would get dressed up and get beaten up by women, and he would pay for this. And I know this firsthand, and I'll swear to it anywhere you want. And there are people in Israel who know this. I don't know if this is relevant or irrelevant, but this is the arms supplier to Georgia is Ronnie Milow. And he is a very salacious figure.
Well, of course, the behind so much of what's going on, there's perversion and of course, of bestiality and pedophilia. And so many of the leaders of our society today have gone over to the dark side, in my estimation. This is not normal activity. This is not aberration. This is just plain old organized evil of what people, of course, give themselves over to their lusts. And of course, they're so then readily blackmailable.
Well, you have to understand how collecting news in Israel is so different than here, for instance, where I don't get anywhere near the heads of power of America.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with... Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Barry's been telling us about a man named Ronnie Milow. And, of course, he is the intermediate man between Israel and, of course, the Georgian government. And he was formerly the mayor of Tel Aviv. But, of course, Barry, when he was over there doing investigative work, had found out, at least according to a madam there, that Ronnie Milow was a masochist. He would dress up, get women to beat him up, to inflict pain upon him. And what sort of aberration, what sort of man would do that? And, of course, once you've done that, why, of course, this information could be released. So it's very easy to block people, blackmail people like that. And this is one of the major figures in Israel today, Ronnie Milow, who apparently, you know, has has strong ties to Georgia and to the Israeli arms manufacturers. And of course, they've been arming Georgia in preparation for this war, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, certainly the Russians have been warning Georgia not to join NATO. Georgia is trying to join NATO. Why would we want a war over there? And, of course, the story I'm getting is, the Georgians were encouraged to attack this breakaway conflict, this province by the American government. Hey, you go ahead and get them. And, of course, when the Georgian army military does move into this breakaway province, there's no help from America. That justifies the Russian invasion of Georgia, and that's what's going on today. And thousands of people have already died. And, of course, we're more concerned about the Olympics. Go right ahead.
Well, I read the Israeli reports where Israel stopped selling Georgia offensive equipment and a few months ago switched to purely defensive. But, again, this is not the Israeli government. These are private Israeli firms. And Rami Milo was representing Elbit, a very large Israeli electronics and arms firm. And what can you say? Over the last 7 years, Georgia has been taken over by Georgian Israelis. And now why Russia wanted to shut them up, I keep hearing the same thing. It's not just a message like we're hearing. It's a message to the Ukraine. It's a message to Armenia. It's a message to everyone that the Soviet Union is watching you. That isn't it. There is something more profound. It has something to do with the Middle East. I guess it has something to do with the oil pipeline. But there was some reason that the Russians felt impelled during the Olympics to prepare this attack when the world would be watching. And you have to ask what it was. I mean, this is just bully tactics. This is the guy who flunked sixth grades and is like he's 14 years old in grade five and beating up the other kids. This war doesn't make practical sense. Well, apparently it's a Russian message to Israel. That's the only thing I can figure out right now, and I don't believe it's just the oil pipeline. Now, we were talking about the kind of information you get in Israel and why some of this stuff might be shocking. Israel just is not America. It is so tiny, and everybody, and it's no joke when you've only got fewer than 6 million Jews. That's one large city in America. You get to know people. If you're a reporter and you're doing the kind of research that many people are favoring you, even if they can't say so publicly, and which was certainly my case, in the case of Rabin, half the Israeli public wanted me to win. And they were funneling me information, and that's how I got to this... madam, who told me about Rami Milo, and then I repeated to other Israeli reporters in the more established press, and it was known, and it was hushed up because he joined Rabin. Rabin blackmailed him into supporting Oslo. You have to know that Israel, with all its brains and its prowess, is also run by real slime. Now, I'm going to give you one other example before we go on to news of how small that country really is. I was on the streets of Jerusalem selling books when someone who had never met me, and apparently we knew someone in common, and no matter how it came to be, he said, "I'm dating a nurse from Iqaluf Hospital who treated Rabin that night." And I said, "You are not." And he said, "I am so." And he picks up the phone, and he makes an appointment. He says, "We'll see her tonight." I actually went home, changed clothes, got documents. He picked me up at 11 o'clock that night. I met a nurse who treated Rabin.
And we're going to have to hear the rest of that story in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Barry is telling us about how he got information on the murder of Rabin, who is the Prime Minister of Israel. And so you're eventually, of course, you're going to meet this nurse who had actually treated Rabin in the hospital. Go ahead and tell the story.
Again, we're on a sleazy side tonight, but there is a sleazy side to Israel. We went to Tel Aviv with this guy, David, and for a while there, I want you to know something. He ran my website. And it was so wacky, the things that he did and how I had to get out of it. But nonetheless, there were two nurses living in an apartment in Tel Aviv. One had treated Rabin. Both were lesbians who wanted a child and chose this guy, David. I go in there with the documents I have, and I sit down, and I pull them out. These are the operating room documents. And I say to the nurse, I said, I know from the documents what the doctor said happened to Rabin. And I pulled them out, and she looks at them, and she runs to the kitchen, and I don't see her for like 15 minutes. David's in there, and he comes out, and he says she's really inconsolable, and she came out and said to me, where do you get those? And I said, people have given them to me. She said, that's illegal. You can't hold these. He said, these aren't things you should be having. And I said, well, these things say that Rabin had a third bullet through his chest. And she said, I don't want to talk to you. You shouldn't have these documents. Let's go out. I don't want to bring up the subject anymore, and that was it. But Israel, for a reporter, is a very easy place to get around, and there's a seamy side, a terribly seamy side to the reports that I don't make a big fuss about. Shall I stay with slightly seamy for 1 second?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. I reported this in my book, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. Yitzhak Rabin was admitted to the hospital with priapism. Obviously, you know what that is.
Right.
And I'm not sure your listeners do. But when you're shot in the spine, one of the first things they look for is priapism, because your blood no longer... When you shot this spine.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shammond. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Barry was telling about his encounter with a woman who was in the treated Rabin when he was in the hospital after he had been shot. And of course, when she realized that Barry had some of the hospital records, he was furious. She said, you shouldn't have those records. We can't talk about this sort of thing. She was extremely upset. Why? Because, of course, the people, of course, had actually seen what had happened to Rabin, realized, of course, the cover story was not accurate. The same thing happened with John Kennedy. We actually, of course, had an opportunity of interviewing, and you can hear that in our 4-tape set on Kennedy's assassination. That's part one. An interview with Dr. Crenshaw was there in the emergency room at the Parkland Hospital. He was told that if he ever told the truth about the wounds that he saw on President Kennedy, he would never practice medicine again. And, of course, for 20-some years, why, he remained silent. But, of course, the bullets obviously came from the front, not from the behind, as they were trying to convince the American people. And so the same thing with Rabin. They could not let the public know that Rabin had been assassinated by the Shabbat, by the counterpart of the Secret Service or FBI over there in Israel. This woman knew it. She had been told never to reveal the truth. And for 26 years, Dr. Crenshaw, who you'll hear on our 4-tape set, kept the secret until finally he actually released the secret in a book. He was immediately attacked by the Journal of the American Medical Association. He sued them for the attack, and you know what happened? They gave him almost $250,000, saying, well, of course, we could have won the case, but we didn't want to invest all that money, so we just decided to give Dr. Crenshaw all the money. You can hear the interview. Nobody else has an interview with Dr. Crenshaw. It's available from Radio Liberty as so much other material. But, of course, the similarities between the assassination of Rabin, the assassination of Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, the assassination of world leaders all throughout the world It's all the same. If they've got a cover-up, cover-up, cover-up. So anyway, Barry was talking about the when Rabin came in. He had priapism, which is a sexual erection, very common with people who've had injury to the spinal cord. Go ahead, tell the story there.
Well, I asked the nurse. I said, it's true, Rabin came in with priapism. And she was, honest to goodness, she was hysterical. She was absolutely hysterical that I knew any of this stuff. And now, there's a reason for priapism. If you're shot in the spine, which the government said Rabin wasn't, your blood flows into your penis and you have priapism. It's one of the first things you look for in a shooting victim to find out if his spine has been affected. Well, Rabin's spine initially was not affected. That happened a little later in the hospital. What happened is, right from the doctor's notes, Rabin had, in Hebrew it's totachim, he had an artificial penis implant. He had a pump. To give him an erection. And the shooting caused the pump to go off. All of this is one of the big secrets with Rabin. Why would a man 73 years old need such a device? Why would he have to be sexually active? And it was not for his wife, Leah. I assure you, it was not for his wife. They did not have a good marriage. And he didn't care if he pleased his wife. Whatever Rabin was involved in, it involved somebody giving him an operation so that he drank a lot, Rabin. He was a drunk. So that he could maintain an erection whenever something, some event, some woman somewhere was presented to him, he could be virile again. I'm not going to repeat this show tomorrow. I'm doing this. One thing led to another tonight, and I'm kind of being very revealing. Rabin was involved in world politics where there's a seamy side to the sex, and it came out this assassination. He had an artificial penis that allowed a 73-year-old man to function like a 16-year-old. And this is what I told the nurse, and this was, I'm telling you this right now, and I doubt I'm going to repeat it. Let's see if I even dare tomorrow to remember this.
Probably better not to tomorrow, certainly that is a daytime program. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. But I'm being very daring tonight. The point is, Ronnie Milo, the middleman to Georgia, had an extremely seamy past. This is information I never revealed, and for some reason he has been supplying the Georgian Army with apparently close to the majority of its military material. Go figure out why. This is a story, for better or worse, this is the story I've got so far.
Well, we may never know the entire implications of what's going on, but certainly it appears that Russia is going to go right again, you know, into Georgia and try to bring them back into the Soviet Union. Our president is saying, oh, you shouldn't do this sort of thing. He said, I even talked to Putin there at the Olympics and told him, this is not a good thing to do. I don't know. I mean, of course, Putin is a part of the KGB, Secret Service, Russian Secret Police, as were his predecessors, Gorbachev, Andropov. But what most people do not understand is that the KGB has always worked very closely with a certain element within the CIA. I know because I've been told this by people within who are working within the intelligence agencies. And if you haven't ever read the book, Brotherhood of the Rose. Brotherhood of the Rose, of course, is a real story of what really goes on behind the scenes, the close working relationship between the KGB and the CIA. Get the book, because, of course, when I brought this subject up with a CIA agent, he said, that book, Brotherhood of the Rose, that was my story. And, of course, I couldn't really believe it, but I ran down to the bookstore the next day, bought the book, and there, of course, was the statement there, you know, and I want to dedicate this book especially to Russ. Of course, this man's name was Gunther Rosbacher. He certainly died or been killed. I don't know which one, but I did have an opportunity to spend some time with this man and learn a great deal about the things that he talked about, the close relationship between the KGB, the CIA. Maybe there are things we just don't understand that are leading us into this, which could be, of course, the crushing of this independent nation of Georgia. And, of course, beginning one by one to absorb the Russian Republic and reestablish the Soviet Union, which, of course, never really fell. I believe the communists have always been there, but I believe it's also, of course, gave an excuse for the Americans to go over there and drill the oil wells and the gas wells and build the pipelines for the independent Russian Republic. That's what we were doing. Why, we never could have done that for the communists, but we could do it for the independent Russia. And I think now, of course, we once again helped to build up the best enemy that American money could buy. And those people don't even know that we drill those oil wells with your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. That's all covered in our little pamphlet, The Communist Capitalist Alliance, how we built up the Soviet Union not only before the fall of Russia, but specifically afterwards. And we're still funding them today. But we can't tell the American people that. Go right ahead, Barry.
Now, there's another side to this story. It's August 8th, and there is an announcement, I guess in the morning. I'm getting my times between Israel and America a little confused, but Israel announces that it's bought two new submarines from Germany. These submarines are capable of carrying nuclear missiles. That brings to five the number of submarines that Israel has to launch nuclear missiles from. At least that's certainly the report. And then I'm getting reports from people that are saying that Israel bought these submarines to target Russia. Now, again, people, Israel doesn't take on Russia. If Israel ever took on Russia, there would be no Israel that day. Same day, no more Israel. But if you're playing the game of mad, where Russia is really pushing you to the edge of extinction, you might just say, look, we can actually make your life a little miserable with nuclear weapons. At least these were the reports I was getting. But this isn't the real story. Later in that day, there was an airplane crash in Haifa. Now, in that crash, the Israeli media made a fuss because the plane skidded off the runway, which, by the way, in summer seems to be a very hard thing to do. But it almost crashed into an ammonia plant in Haifa, which would have put the city under a tremendous gas attack. Ammonia gas everywhere. It apparently missed it by a matter of meters. That was the story. I think they missed the real story. And that is who died on August 8th in Israel. In that airplane, there were six people in that airplane. Two of the first three that they announced were dead. Doron Amir, who was head of the Israeli submarine attack force previously, he was now a reserve colonel, still working with the Israeli submarine, the whole submarine navy. He was in charge of it. He dies in this airplane crash, along with Reuven Ziegler, a naval construction officer. They both die the same day that Israel announces it bought two new submarines from Germany, capable of launching nuclear missiles from the head of Israel's submarine force. And, he was on the plane with him. Reuven Ziegler was head of Israeli naval construction. They both die in a plane crash in Haifa the day the signing was announced. Now, I'm not a good one for coincidences. I'm a real poor one for coincidences. I don't think this accident was an accident. And I've been investigating it. The plane took off from Cyprus, landed in Israel, and almost blew up Haifa with ammonia. The point is, you don't go to Cyprus. The head of the submarine force, along with the head of naval construction, you go to Cyprus because you were somewhere else, and you transferred planes. There was something enormous going on. The world is desperate. Weirdos are running this world. Whatever is going on in Georgia, I think, was directly related to Israel getting two new submarines that are capable of launching nuclear missiles, which led to the death that day in Haifa of the head of the submarine task force in Israel, along with his partner, the head of naval construction. This story is so wide and so strange, and I'll swear to it, it's all connected.
Well, of course, there are lots of things that are going on behind the scenes that they will not tell the American people, to tell the Israeli people. Everything is top secret, classified. We don't want Osama bin Laden to learn what's really going on. And the truth of the matter is, they don't want the public to know what's going on. But I think we're on the edge of some very, very frightening things are going to occur. And I think they're going to occur in the Middle East. I think that they're trying to get a war going with the Muslim world. Doesn't make any sense, but there very little in the world makes sense, about as much sense as Israel challenging Russia, you know. I mean, that would be like the ant, you know, challenging the elephant. What possible opportunity would the ant have to hurt the elephant? It wouldn't. So why are they doing it? It doesn't make any sense. If it doesn't make any sense, then there's got to be a reason, but it's got to be a different reason. Would you agree?
Somewhere there's a logic that's escaping everybody.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, fine. And so basically what we have to do is try to figure that out. We may not know. It may become apparent later down the line, you know. But there's so many of the stories you look back on, and it's so obvious, so blatantly obvious, and yet at the time it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, Israel, everyone is acting desperate, all right? You feel the desperation. Russia goes to war over Georgia. Ridiculous. Israel buys two new submarines August 8th. I believe that would be the day after the Georgian war broke out. Israel announces the purchase of the submarines. You can be sure that was months in the offing. You can be sure the Georgian war was months in the offing. None of this happened overnight, but all of a sudden this desperation is beginning to show all over the place. Now, let's go back into Israel, where it's getting really spooky. Are we ready for that?
Go right ahead.
All right. Now, before the Gaza pullouts, and you can read it in my book, Bye Bye Gaza, which I was delighted to present to you, you will find that I tell the settlers and the people of Gaza that before the army makes any move on you, you have to buy equipment to neutralize the army. I said you've got to buy helmets. They swing clubs and they hurt people. I said you've got to get gas masks. They'll use tear gas on you. I said it would not hurt if you got real lessons from a kung fu master. What do you do when the police attack you? All of these suggestions I made to the people of Gaza to put up some sort of fight against the army. Well, naturally, they didn't listen to me. That goes without saying. But lo and behold, Bola Shapira, head of an Israeli resistance movement, it's called the Chomish Movement, we won't have to go into great details, has announced that they are buying a great deal of helmets, that next time the government tries to move his people from their homes, they're going to be ready with equipment.
Well, I certainly hope so. Barry, we're just about out of time. Let's get your website out. I want you to tell people how to get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can get to your website. So get that information right now.
Right. Bye bye, Gaza. You go to lulu.com, lulu.com, and you write in Chamish. That's my name. My website is barrychamish.com. My phone number is 904-315-8079. I can't believe how quickly this hour went.
Well, it did go very fast. Give that telephone number once again.
904-315-8079 for my DVDs. And I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Oh, hold on. We just got a few more minutes before I let you go. But this is the time. I just want our listeners to know our guest has been Barry Chamish. Always fascinating information. Certainly, Barry is a Jewish patriot. Fortunately, he's over here. He's, of course, giving us the information you're not going to get from others about what's really going on behind the scenes. The news behind the news. The story behind the story. Well, Barry, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Wow, and I have a list of stuff to talk about today. I'm going to finish off with Limor Livnat, who's going to take over from Olmert as the head of the Kadima Party. During the Gaza pullouts, Limor Livnat made the following statements. They're now public before the primaries. She said that the internment camps are being readied for those Gazans who refuse to willingly leave. She said, all possessions of the refusers will become state property. She said that the demonstrators' children will be removed from the homes of their parents and sent elsewhere to be re-educated. And she said the parents will be indicted for putting their children in danger. Remember, when Olmert goes down, this horrible, horrible woman who was going to, who set up internment camps and was going to separate the children from the parents in Gaza, her fellow Jews, her fellow Israelis, this is what she was going to do with them. This is who is going to take all over from Olmert. It's not going to be any picnic. No matter who takes over from Olmert, it's going to be even worse.
I think it's so important that people understand that the leaders of Israel have no loyalty to Israel. Of course, they forced the people out of Gaza, and of course now they're trying to force them out of Judea and Samaria. There are people in positions of power in Israel who hate Jews, and of course they have a different loyalty. They have this globalist dream, and of course they want this one world government. We have the same thing here in America at the highest levels of our government. The people who profess to believe in America but are doing everything they can to destroy our economy, to destroy our military, sending them overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die in wars they're never allowed to win, and of course bringing them home, many of them crippled, their lives destroyed, poisoned with depleted uranium, sending victims of head injuries, the victims of post-traumatic stress. I mean, do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the young people who might want to fight to preserve it? Are they doing the same thing over in America that they're doing in Israel? Barry, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. We'll be talking to you tomorrow morning on our early morning program.
I look forward to it.
God bless, and thanks very much for being with us. Bye-bye. And I hope
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoy our programs with Barry Chamish. Always a different slant on things. Barry is a very, very astute individual, very good observer of what's going on today. And this is Dr. Stan. We hope that you enjoyed our program again this evening with Barry Chamish, giving you an entirely different slant on what's going on. Now, certainly Barry, of course, is looking at it from a Jewish perspective. I'm looking at it from a Christian perspective. But I also recognize the fact that there are satanic forces at work within our society. And there are satanic organizations out there. And, of course, if you don't understand, there have been these secret societies and mystery religions since the inception of our country. Look at the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid capped by the triangle that contains the glorified eye. That is the symbol of the mystery religions. It's been around for 5,000 years. What's it doing on the back of the dollar bill? Well, that's, of course, why you need to hear my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to see the DVD we did. Of course, it's called The Secrets of the Illuminati. It's an expanded form of the Brotherhood of Darkness, but it takes you in the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. You need, of course, to get our talk on The Forbidden Secret. That's The Forbidden Secret, and get the syllabus that goes with that. And our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that, you need us to help us get out the information. Certainly, William Grigg has written an excellent book. It's entitled The Liberty and Eclipse. That's Liberty and Eclipse. We recommend that. And, of course, we have so much information. If you want to understand what really happened on September 11th, why, of course, you need to see some of the DVDs we carry. 911 Mysteries, Blueprint for Truth. This is put out by the architects and engineers for 911 Truth. That's Blueprint for Truth. And of course, we have, of course, in plain sight, we have my talk on what happened on September 11th. We've got a program by a DVD, excellent DVD by Dave Wegner, where you'll see footage. You understand that what happened to Building 7 was a controlled demolition. And if you don't believe that, go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And simply scroll down to other videos. And then when you're on other videos, scroll down to building number 7, and you'll actually see the building come down. This is a number of views of it coming down. When you do a controlled demolition, the first thing you do is take out the central support, and the center of the roof caves in. Then you destroy the base of the building. Watch building 7 come down. Didn't get hit by a plane. Of course, it came down a controlled demolition. We have a four-tape set on why did the buildings come down. Excellent four-tape set. Interviews with a man who was with the team there. It was on Building 7 the following day. Interviews with William Rodriguez, who was the last person out of the North Tower. And certainly we have our four-tape set on the truth about 911, the true story of 911. It's a little pamphlet. They're inexpensive. We have our three-tape set, Foreknowledge 911, the three pamphlets. We want you to get the information we have, of course, DVDs on the 911 and then 911 update and why did the building come down. They're all tape or CD sets, and then, of course, so many good videos. One of the best books I've ever read is Terror Timeline. And, of course, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If they were willing to kill 3,000 Americans to get us into this war, how many more Americans will die before the truth comes out? We carry the other book, of course, we recommend it, See No Evil by Robert Baer. Robert Baer, a CIA agent, who quotes one of the leaders, of course, of the CIA, is saying, when the dust finally clears, the American people will realize that what happened on 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence. Think of the implications of that statement. You can read it in his book. We carry See No Evil. And then I just simply want to mention to you that certainly we've been wanting to carry Longevinex for a long time. It's a resveratrol product put out by our good friend Bill Sardi. And, of course, Bill is making a special offer to our listeners. If you buy 5 boxes of Longevinex at the regular price of $36.95 each, he'll give you 5 boxes of Longevinex for nothing. So you're getting it at half price. It's a limited time offer, but I think it's a great product. Barbara and I both take it. We hope that you will want to as well. That's Longevinex. Call them at 866-405-4000. 866-405-4000. Our number.